but very elegant. She put the head in front. What's a Dave got? He's coming back. The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very elegant. Ahead on a Dave. He's trying, but she's going to beat him. Very elegant wins the Rambert.
Hello and welcome back to the B-Set. It's day one of the Star Championships, my favourite day of the year, especially the $4 million Doncaster Mile. I just love big handicap races. Ray, as I bring you in, obviously the chat of the whole entire week has been the weather. It's a little bit of a dampener. That was pretty good by me. What do you say?
It is a bit of a dampener, yes. I don't know how the weather gods know to rain on a Thursday night, Friday leading into a big race, but that seemed to do that regularly. I guess we know we're going to be playing on a heavy track.
Yep.
If the races go ahead, which they seem as though at this stage that, you know, we're suggesting they will be on. And look, it's not going to take away from the spectacle. I think we've got some outstanding races here. We'd probably rather have them run on a soft five than a heavy 10.
Yep.
But, you know, there's still 10 winners to be found. There'll still be a Doncaster champion.
Yep.
The TJ is fascinating. Let's get into, let's start with the Doncaster, your favourite race, the Star Doncaster Mile.
Well, by far, just have a look at this race. Like, it is just outstanding. There's just so many different angles to take. And, all right, I'll kick it off. I'm with Celestial Legend on top. I just really like this runner. I thought its win in the Randwick Guineas was outstanding. It just shouldn't have won that race. I thought it was one of the tougher 3-year-old performances I've seen for some time. It was out on a limb, working at a fast pace, bumped on the turn. And then when they just kept attacking it from all angles, he just kept responding under pressure. I thought the trial the other day was really solid. His peak performance came on rain-affected ground. He maps lovely, and he's just incredibly well-weighted on the 49 kilos. Just mapping to do no work. And he's got closing speed. And for a horse with 49 kilos on a heavy 10, I think he will handle the heavy 10. We haven't seen him on a heavy, but that's the gamble we take. And at $8, I think he's a terrific bet. It was very hard for me not to put Urban Buramai on top. I've got a lot of time for this gallop. But in my mind, I've got no doubt he's the best horse in the field. But it's just a massive query. Will he handle such a heavy surface? With that said, I can't let him go around at double figures.
It's impossible to know, although, you know, there's been a bit of talk about his sire, Discreet Cat,
yep,
who was a dirt tracker.
Yeah, in America.
In America.
Yeah.
They do get some sloppy tracks over there when it's wet. I don't know whether Discreet Cat had too much form on those, but look, it's really a big question mark over Urban Buramai as far as that goes. Look, I had a lot of trouble working out who I liked here. I went a few different ways. I landed on Lady Laguna, number 12,
yep.
51 kilos. We saw her this time last year run well on a heavy 8 in the Arrow field, and she's just been really consistent. She continues to go upwards. She's got 51 kilos, drops 6 kilos on a run in the Rider, where I thought she was probably hitting the line still better than Militarize.
Yep.
She gave him weight there.
Mm-hmm.
He gives her weight here, so I can't see him beating her home unless she just doesn't handle the track. She's just got to run well, so I've got her on top. I tried to make... Look, I'm a little wary of Detonator Jack. I think he's one of the better wet trackers in the race.
Definitely.
52.5 is not too bad. He just hasn't run a bad race up in Sydney.
Yep.
He won the Gong by a margin on a heavy 8. That was a pretty testing track that day. So I feel he's got a really good chance.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was really solid in the Ajax. He's come back well.
Yeah.
That was his best up first performance from a ratings perspective. So I can definitely see your angle there.
Of the lightweighters, another Will's got to be there. He's got the run from last week, which looked really soft.
For me, he can easily win, and the market tells you that. It's just more the price. That's why.
He's probably a bit short. If we were dealing with a soft five or six or something like that, I'd probably be happy.
I think the thing with this, when it gets this wet, it's more about obviously the horse handling it. I don't get too caught up in maps and barriers.
Yes.
And it's more how the horse is going to handle the race. As I said, because Urban Buramai, if it's a dry track and it's a fast tempo, just look out. This horse would just be very hard to hold out. But with that said, I've had to go another way. And I'm really happy with Celestial Legend. As you say, you go through this field and you can line this horse up with so many different form lines, and he is clearly the weight horse. I think the three-year-olds are going to be hard to beat. I think they're really well in.
Yeah, well, it's funny how you talk about barriers and things like that, because a lot is made of barrier draws for big races, and you know the Doncaster Mile is probably one of those barrier draws that really doesn't matter.
No, the Randwick 1600 metre shoot's just very forgiving.
Well, if you look through the history, particularly in the last 20 years, I had a look and it was 12 of the last 20 Doncaster winners have drawn double figures barriers. So it's just, and particularly on a heavy track, again, barriers aren't going to be as important as A, whether the horse handles the going, and two, whether they can travel in it.
Yep.
If a horse is travelling in the going, well, it won't matter whether he's drawn 20 or 1.
Yep.
And by race 8, you know, they'll probably be all over the track. So,
yep.
Look, for what it's worth, my Doncaster numbers are 12, 8, 18, and 2. Lady Laguna, From Detonator Jack, Celestial Legend, and Oban Buramai. I hate leaving... Sorry, 18's another Will. I hate leaving Celestial Legend out.
Yep.
I think had we not been dealing with a heavy 10,
yep.
He'd certainly be in the numbers. It's just that big query. Think about it. I tried to make
it's hard to leave him out. Yeah.
It's amazing to think that this horse has had 15 starts. I had a look at the stats. He has not started longer than $5.50. Yep. That was when he won the Kingsford Smith in Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
Only three times has he started more than $4.
Yep.
So every other time he's started under $4, and he's now around $20. Mm-hmm. And his two runs back have been fine.
Yep.
Yeah,
they've been really solid runs especially the George Ryder, which is seen as being really the form reference in recent times. To win the Doncaster and always face the breeze, fast pace, stuck on okay there, and SP. So if you're an SP profiler, you have to like him.
He does meet Lady Laguna quite significantly worse at the weights there as well. Look, weights and measures may not matter in this. Again, it comes down to who handles the ground.
Yeah, I'm 19, Celestial Legend on top. The two, Oban Buramai, in for second pick. I thought Kovalika was the roughie of the race, number 7, and I had to put another Will in there for fourth pick. Mm-hmm. But happy to back a Celestial Legend, and I can't let Oban Buramai go around without something on. All right, let's move straight to the Derby. This is a cracker. Do you go the filly, Ray, the lone filly in Zardozzi, or have you gone, obviously, the colt or the geldings? Riff Rocket, which way?
Well, I went the filly, Zardozzi. Yep. She's got good wet track credentials. I think her run in the Vinery last week was a bit better than a pass. I think she was left flat-footed a little bit when they sprinted there about the 600 or 700-metre mark and probably just gassed her a little bit.
Yeah, it was interesting, completely different race shape from her Farlap Stakes win. It was a fast pace, and she really just won very well that day, ran good time, and then it was a real sit and sprint there in the Vinery, and you do break down her sectionals. She ran a nice 6 to 2 and probably just peaked and was slightly, not needed the run, but really getting to her peak now, I think.
I've got her ahead of Shea Wolf, number 3. I thought he was the takeout of the Rosehill Guineas. Yes, Riff Rocket won that race. I thought he was still just warming up, coming to the finish there. He should handle a wet track. Riff Rocket goes in, and I'm not leaving out Wymark. He's been very good over the last couple of weeks, and those Sabbabills tend to handle wet tracks as well. And he's got the backup, and he's got the Tullock form. 5 of the last 7 winners of the Derby have come through the Tullock. The other 2 have been Victorian races. So Rosehill Guineas has got to pick up its game.
Yep.
To be a factor, and obviously a filly hasn't won the race since Shamrocker, but I think I read somewhere that only two or three have contested it since Shamrocker, so that's not that significant. So, yeah, Zardozzi on top in the Derby for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm Zardozzi too, and she's just a real pattern horse, and you break down her profile, and her two starts back last preparation where she rose in trip, and she was on a quick backup, a 5 or 6 day backup. She won. So she won the Edward Manifold, and then she obviously won the Oaks. Now, if she gets back to that Oaks figure, which I'm saying she will, I think she should be favourite, and I think she's going to be hard to beat. The wet track's only a plus to her, the quick backup. There's just a lot to like about her. So I marked her favourite. I'm happy to be with her. But more importantly, I hope she runs, because I know James Cummings has said a couple of times that he's 50-50. So I hope she runs. I think she will run, and I think she'll be hard to beat.
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously we'll know that in the morning, but gee, it must be tempting to run, because obviously she meets Orchestral again in the Oaks if she runs there. And James hasn't ruled out running in both, but I'd suggest if he does run her on a heavy 10 in the Derby, it'd be unlikely he'd probably back her up again on a 5 or a 6 or whatever it's going to be next week. So, yeah, look, go Team Godolphin, eh?
Yep. All right, let's move to the TJ. So back to race 7. This is another cracking race. So interesting. Obviously, I Wish I Win is first up. Now, the last horse to win first up in a TJ was Takeover Target back in 2009.
Goodness me.
So can I Wish I Win do that, or is it the world's best sprinter, Imperatrice, would label the world's best sprinter, Imperatrice, back the clockwise direction, or do you look from something away from the favourites? Because there is little niggles there, so there's easily a case you could make for a couple of roughies.
There's niggles for quite a few of them here. Look, I Wish I Win, Peter Moody has said that he's been trained to run 1,400 metres first up, so that's a plus, I guess, yeah, given the testing conditions. So that suggests that he's not leaving fitness as an excuse.
Yep.
Imperatrice, well, she's got the benefit of having had a couple of tough runs.
Yeah.
You know, the Newmarket was a tough run under 58, and she took off a fair way from home in the William Reid.
I thought her William Reid was, I know a lot of people said, oh, it was okay, but she was ridden, obviously, to win the race. Mm. She was flushed out early, exerted a lot of energy between the 6 and the 2. I know Johnny Rocker, look, he's probably not the most credentialed horse to be Group 1 weight for age. We'll find out. But I still thought it was solid. I think people were tough on that win. Yeah. I thought it was a solid win.
I ended up landing on Imperatrice. Yeah. And I know we've talked a lot. I know we mentioned that maps and things like that aren't particularly as important on heavy tracks. But for this race, I just went with a map a little bit, because I see her, you know, sitting 3rd, 4th, 5th or somewhere thereabouts.
Yeah.
With a horse like I Wish I Win behind her,
yep,
and having to run her down. And if she hits the front, I just wonder whether that fitness might kick in. There's been a bit said about her wet track credentials. It's been a little while since she's seen a seriously wet track, although she has got a big win in New Zealand on a heavy 10, which equates to about a
heavy 100.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Sometimes they can't sometimes pick their legs up.
Absolutely bottomless. So, look, I think she's the horse to beat. I think the value is Marzu.
Yep.
Now, I would love to have seen him have another run.
Yep.
He had the same week that Think About It had that blood issue. Marzu had a similar one, mm-hmm. and they decided not to run him.
Yeah.
So he's had what you'd call a little setback or a little bit of a break between runs. But you go back through his heavy track credentials. The last few times he struck heavy tracks, he ran 3rd in the TJ last year. His winning streak when he won the Arrowfield, the Fireball, and the Doomben 10,000 and races like that coming through the grades were all on heavy tracks.
Yep.
He was beaten narrowly on a heavy track in a Premier Stakes. He's been placed in an Everest. We know he's a handy horse. He's going to sit up outside Coal Crusher, I would imagine.
Yep.
And if he's still Marzu from those heavy track performances, he's a good chance here.
You know what the thing I've noted about Marzu is? The market has really late. They've kept backing him.
Yeah.
So that's a big lead in itself.
It's that wet track credential.
Yeah.
The other wet tracker I'm going to respect is Arf Cabin.
Yes.
look, I think we have to forgive him for the Galaxy.
Oh.
Not too many things went right there.
Nothing went right.
Yeah, and just he was unlucky in the challenge.
Yeah.
But he won the Arrowfield on a heavy 8 at this meeting, this carnival last year, beating Lady Laguna, among other horses.
Yep.
And he came from a long way back there. Didn't seem to settle all that well, but still was too good for them. So the other times he's struck heavy tracks, he's always performed. So we'll keep him in the mix. I'm not leaving out I Wish I Win. I mean, he did win this race last year on a heavy track. He ran 2nd in the Everest. A little bit unlucky. He's had a minor bit of surgery or something like that in the interim. But as Peter Moody has said, you know, he's been trained up for this. So he has to be respected. But I've got Imperatrice on top, but
Spec a couple here and throw a few in the quarter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can make a case for Magic Time.
Yep.
I could make a case for Bella Nipotina. Buenos Noches has seemed to have performed well on wet tracks when he's struck them, although just a question mark on how well he's going.
Yeah, I'm not sure how well he's going this prep, but things, I think, horses' form in these conditions can just completely change. They can be going no good and then all of a sudden go back to their best figures.
Yeah, I think we can assume Private Eye won't be there.
Yes.
Joe Pryde has said that if it's a heavy track, he won't be running. I'm with Imperatriz, but not super confident.
Yeah, I'm going to take the gamble. I Wish I Win. Purely, I haven't bet yet. I'm going to wait to see what the market does with him later. I think that's going to be quite a good guide. But I'm not... First up, heavy track is definitely not in my usual recipe how I'd look for a horse. But this horse, Fresh, I think he's a different beast. And just the way last preparation, also how Peter Moody trained him. So two preparations ago in the Black Caviar, his first up run I thought was fantastic behind Cool and Gadda. They don't run better closing splits. Then first up in the Memsie last prep for his Everest campaign, look, I don't think he was completely screwed down there, and I think he would have won that race if he was. Then he came to the Everest off a 42-day fresh in and arguably should have won that race. His TJ win last prep was his best figure. It was outstanding on a heavy nine. So he's the one horse almost out of the meeting that first up I can entertain, just purely how he's trained and his profile. So I'm going to put him on top with James McDonald as well to ride. And I agree with you, if half cabin, I just couldn't look myself in the mirror if this horse won and I didn't have anything on him, because I've followed him all the way through. So, and I agree, that Arrowfield win was, he just did that all on raw talent. I know weight for age, he's better suited at a handicap, but he gets Zach Purden. He's 2 for 2 at the track and distance. I think he revels in the going. So at the $17 or around that mark, have to have something on him.
The other one we haven't mentioned is Sunshine in Paris.
Yeah, she's...
She hasn't seen a heavy track yet. Her run in the Galaxy was excellent up on the inside. Probably wins in another bound or two.
On a good track, I'd almost tip her.
Yeah, look, she's right there. If she handles the ground... And Vader was a heavy track winner of the Sires.
Yep.
Over 1,400 metres, so... That's some guide.
She's drawn to get to the right part of the track.
Yeah.
Get her back to follow.
She'd definitely be going in the quaddie.
Yeah. All righty, let's move to back one race again to the Sires. I tossed and turned in this race. Probably the more tricky affairs for me out of the whole entire day. Which way did you land, Ray?
I'm going to go with Storm Boy.
Yep.
I bet Connections wish they drew Barrier 8 in the slipper.
Yes.
I
feel like you're going to say exactly what I've got on my notes.
Yeah, look, he'll just roll forward from there. He'll sit outside, probably a node, and we get to find out
what's
boom is right. I mean, yes, it's a testing track. I don't think there's anything that we've seen that suggests he won't handle a heavy track. It's about getting him to travel, and when he's done that in his races, he's been lethal. So,
yep.
I reckon they'll probably take a little bit of a set against him.
Yeah, they have to. I think the 260, I think he has to get out.
The horse I've got in as the danger is Prost.
So do I, yep.
I thought he was excellent behind Storm Boy in the Skyline. Things didn't work out in the slipper. He was sort of ducking and weaving everywhere, trying to get momentum up and wasn't able to. So I think he's the danger. Manal, if she handles the wet track and gets into some kind of position, she could be dangerous. Traffic Warden was excellent in the slipper. This is anyone's race, but I just want to stay with Storm Boy because I still think he's the best horse.
Yep.
I think he'll love 1,400 metres. J-Mac on. He'll come out of the gates probably a little bit scratchy, as he usually does, but he'll be able to build up from there without being bustled.
Yeah, it's all about... the gate for me. Out wide, he can just... McDonald back ons, I think, is a huge plus. I think he just rolls, sits outside leader, and he just builds into his own rhythm.
Mm.
He's not dictated to, where I just think he completely didn't handle being crowded around runners. Then he's forced back into the inferior ground. And we think sometimes they're machines. You've got to remember they're only two years old. Yeah. And he just didn't handle what happened in the Golden Slipper, I don't think, at all. So back into his own rhythm, just building through his own stride. I think he's just going to be too strong, and I think he's just clearly looking for 14, if not 1,600 metres already.
Well, look, the barrier may be an advantage to him as well. Look, by race 6, we'll know which way the track's going.
Yeah.
Now, Randwick heavy tracks can go one of two ways.
Yeah.
And I don't care really where the barrier, where the rail position is, although obviously it's in the true.
Yeah.
Randwick heavy tracks will go one of two ways. They'll go down the middle.
Yep.
Or they'll go hard up on the fence.
Yep.
Now, if it's one of those really bottomless, tough, heavy 10s, it'll be hard up on the fence.
Yep.
As we saw, I think it was the week before the Everest a couple of years ago, where the meeting was called off halfway through.
Yes.
You just couldn't make any ground up on the anywhere unless you were on the fence.
Yep.
So we're going to know that by this stage, well and truly, where you can be, or whether it is even fair. I mean, there's probably some chance it'll be fair, but I'm thinking that the default position is to think it'll be down the middle.
Yep.
And, so, and until it's proven otherwise, that's the way we'll go. So that'll probably help Storm Boy, because he'll be able to be in probably he'll be in the position to be in the best part of the track.
Yeah, I'm Storm Boy too. So race 6, number 1. Okay, let's get to the country championships.
One of our favourite races.
One of our favourite races. Ray, you've been covering this, all the meetings, all the way through for this big day for all the country-trained horses. What have you come up with, and who do you like? Any other roughies for the punters?
Well, given what we're dealing with, a heavy track, I'm happy to cross out a few horses, unfortunately.
Yep.
Which is a shame, because there are a few horses here that would be a legitimate chance if we were dealing with a, you know, a reasonable track surface. But I think we've seen through some of the qualifying races on a heavy 10, we can rule a few horses out. The horse we can't rule out is Bandit's Boy. He's got to be the starting point for this race.
Has to be.
Even before he won the Star Kingdom last week, the Group 3, he had to be the starting point. He won the lead-up race at Maruya, the qualifying race, you know, I think dominant style.
Mm-hmm.
He's got benchmark form all the way through his career. He kicked off his career in the Kindergarten Stakes at this meeting 2 years ago and ran fifth.
Yep.
And then beat Zoo Gotcha on a heavy track where he was running off the track.
Yep.
The whole way. And obviously Zoo Gotcha's gone on to win Group 1 races. Bandy's Boy hasn't been as fortunate in the sense that he spent nearly 12 months on the sidelines. But he's had a great build-up for this, I think. And that run last week, I think, will have him in great stead. Now, whether Barrier 1's a plus or a minus is the only query. I'd probably prefer him to have drawn, you know, 6 or 7 or something like that.
Of course, yeah.
But he has to be the starting point. He's clearly the best credentialed horse. Dangers, plenty of them. Gallant Star, I think, is a danger.
Big improver.
Yeah, I think he was good enough at Canamble.
Yep.
I just think the race got away from him. He ended up a little bit too further back than he probably should have been, given that the leader and the horse that was right up on the pace with him ran, you know, 1 and 3.
Races well at Randwick.
Yep. Wet track form's okay. I don't think that's a problem. He's been placed on a heavy track. And he's just been set for this race for so long, and it's worked out. So I think he's the danger. Other horses I've got in the mix are Sharp Shock, coming through the second placing in the Northern Wildcard. He obviously was able to get into this race due to the disqualification of Lockdown Gamble from Mudgee, which is unfortunate for their connections. He's got heavy track form. He's got Randwick form. He's consistent. He's got that Group 3 placing from two starts ago at 200 to 1. And I'll put in Tribeca Star as well. I don't want to discount Listen to the Band.
Yes.
Now, he's squeaked into the field due to the scratching of Elson Boy. Look, for the connection's sake, it's really good that he's been able to make this field, because he won the Western Country Championships last year, beating Sizzle Manizzle, and then pulled up lame and didn't race again until he ran third in the championships at Canamble a couple of weeks ago. So, look, I don't think he'll have too much of trouble with a heavy track. He's one of those horses with you know, leg issues. A bit of soft ground probably won't hurt him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he surprises a few people. I think the heavy track, the other horse I guess I want to mention is Bianco Villano.
Yep.
Now, if we were dealing with a good track, he'd probably be my second pick behind Bandy's Boy.
Yep.
He did run fourth in this race on that heavy track behind Sizzle Manizzle, so he gets a minor tick there, but I just still think he's a lot better on top of the ground, and where he's going to get to from the barrier is probably a bit of a question mark. With Bandy's Boy, I'd be disappointed if he's not in the first half a dozen.
Yeah.
And I'd suggest Jay Ford will probably be looking to get him off the fence just to be safe. I mean, unless it's proven that that's where you need to be. So, look, country championships numbers for me, 110.97. Fascinating race. Yeah, what about you?
Look, I agree with you with Bandy's Boy in the fact I've got a second pick, but purely if it does what it did last week, it just wins. Mm. That's as simple as that. It ran extremely fast time in the Star Kingdom. When you adjust for the day, it actually went the best overall. So I think Bandy's Boy is awfully hard to beat. With that said, I was just looking for something outside the box in this race, and I came up with Associate.
Yep.
Who, look, Bandy's Boy obviously beat him a couple of starts ago, but nothing went right that day at Maruria, and I just really liked that win at Goulburn. Just how he picked up that last 100 metres and just how he held his action with Zach Lloyd on for the first time. Zach sticks with the ride. It was on a soft seven track, so that was his career best on a soft seven. We've never seen him on a heavy track, but when they go to that next level on that wetter track, it does tell me that I think he'll be okay on the heavy. He still has to prove himself, but just at the slightly bigger odds, I went with Associate. With that said, I don't want to lose on the race if Bandy's Boy wins. That's how I'm handling
it. I went down to Goulburn that day, and it was a testing track.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it was a soft seven, but it was testing. There was quite a bit of filler in the track, and they really weren't doing what he did on that day. He got right back to last, and I thought on the home turn he was no chance.
Yeah.
But, Zach Lloyd stole a couple of lengths by going inside a couple of horses on the home turn, and then he just wound up like a good horse. And Danny Elsebe's always said that he's a good horse.
Yeah.
And he's now maybe starting to realise that. So, yeah, look, I mean, you could easily make a case for him as well, because I think that soft seven, you can read that as almost a heavy track because it was a test.
Yeah, and he's a winner over 1,600 metres as well. So I'm happy just to... I know his two big wins have been at Goulburn, but so I think he likes the bigger track as well. So I'm happy to be with Associate. And that day he did come to Randwick, just nothing went right that day. Also at Rose Hill in his highway attempt. So I just think I'm going to make him the good result, but I'm not losing on the race if Bandy's Boy wins. Yep. It's simple as that.
Okay.
All right, so we've gone through the four group ones and obviously the country championships. Best bets time on a tricky day, but... let's get a few home.
It's hard to be confident, but I'll be confident enough in Zardozi.
Yep.
In the Derby, race 9, number 14. Aside, because we've talked about her already, so I won't really go any more into her. The other horse I want to look at is Stockman, race 2, number 2.
Yep.
Now, I don't want a heavy 10 where it's, you know, really choppy and stuff like that, or raining or anything like that, but if the rain is done by mid-morning or even before, and the track gets a chance to settle a little bit, I think he's a good chance. He's been flying on good tracks, in good quality races, and he finally gets onto a heavy track. Now, look, I wish it was a soft seven or something like that, but, you know, he ran second on this day, I think, last year on a heavy track. Or it might have been 2 years ago. Just I can't remember off the top of my head. But he's just been racing so well. He was good in the Sky High. Obviously, Lindemann won that. He was pretty good late, I thought, in the Mannion Cup on a good four. Last time he struck a soft five, he actually won.
Yeah.
I just think that in a race where there's no reason to be confident in many horses getting through the ground, I think he's one that will, and he'll certainly run out the trip. So I want to be with Stockman with... not a high degree of confidence, but certainly one that I think that this is his best chance to be in the finish of a race for quite some time.
Yep, fair enough. I'm going to go head-to-head with you there. I like three really good bets for me over the weekend, so these are my three best. So I'm race two. I'm with the favourite, the 11, Circle of Fire. Mm-hmm. I think this has just been a bit of a target race, and obviously I think they can go to the Sydney Cup. So this horse was solid first up in its first. It's an international, so first up run at Flemington over 1,600 metres. It was a high pressure race, thought it was solid. Came to Sydney, against Weimark, who's subsequently gone on and won. That was back in a benchmark 78.
Mm-hmm.
But that day had the pace and bias against, made up significant ground, and its final 200 metres was the ninth best on the meeting with 60.5 kilos. Gets down to 53 tomorrow. So I think that's only a big plus. I think it's a target by the stable. I can't see the wet track being any concern. It raced well overseas when it hit a soft six, and a soft six over there is a lot wetter than a soft six here, putting it politely.
I've got it in as the danger.
Yep.
Kieran Maher did speak highly of it on radio this week, and you're right, the significant weight drop is in his favour, and he should run out the distance quite well.
Yeah, and just in the betting, there was a sneaky go for it last start, so that just where there's smoke, there's fire. So I think it's one that's going to go bang and really improve. So at $4, I think it's a really good bet. And then I'm going to move to race four, number 12, Good Banter. I've been watching this horse, and its run in the Kembla Grange Classic was a lot better than what met the eye.
Yeah.
Just never got on the track. It was out on a limb, then it got pushed wider on the turn. It ran the fastest final 200 metres of the race. We've seen horses like Tuta La Vida come out, a couple of subsequent place getters, a subsequent winner. So that Kembla Grange Classic form is really strong. It's a winner on a heavy nine track, I think $5.50. I like the wide draw. The blinkers stay on. Another runner with no weight. Happy to be with Good Banter. And let's go to Dubbo on Sunday. Why not?
Why not?
We've got I don't know what the track will be doing out there by Sunday. It's soft at the moment. But Orkram Bisbee. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Ray, can you get that for me?
Awesome Busby.
Yeah, wow, how good am I going? Awesome Busby, that sounds a lot better. I think that runner is just ready to win now. Another runner was caught wide early at Orange, came home really good splits, out 1,600 metres again. Good gate, good bet for your Sunday. So running through those again, Randwick Race 2, number 11, Circle of Fire, Randwick Race 4, number 12, Good Banter, and Dubbo Race 2, number 2, Orkram Bisbee. Wait, did I just go back to the other way?
It's awesome.
O-R-C-Y-M,
awesome.
Awesome, there you go.
That's how you spell awesome these days.
It is, okay. Everyone just, whatever Ray said, take what he said, not me. It's going to be a good day out there tomorrow. Hopefully they're on. Let's back plenty of winners. And good luck to everyone out there having a bet.